Look at the topic for this evening is continuing as a Christian or growing as a Christian. And we're going to be looking at some aspects from God's word as to what God expects of us in our spiritual journey through life as we grow and develop and mature as a Christian. But before we look at this topic then, growing as a Christian, I suppose we have to establish what exactly it means to be a Christian. And I realise this is not a family service, but I make no apology for this, that we're just going to spend the first few minutes just establishing once again what it is to be a Christian. And the one verse I have for us based on this is found in 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. If you've got a Bible, we might like to follow this passage with me. Just a couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I think this verse highlights for us what it means to be a Christian. Paul says this: "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 is really the key verse for us to consider. What does it mean to be a Christian? And there's three aspects of the Christian faith, three pillars, if you like, of the Christian faith, three fundamentals of the Christian faith highlighted in this particular verse. And the first one is this: Christianity is about salvation. Because the verse says this: "How you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." So Christianity is about being saved. It is about salvation. But what is salvation? Well, John Stott, the famous preacher, said this: "Salvation is a word that includes the whole sweep of God's purpose to redeem and restore mankind and ultimately the whole of his creation back to himself. The Christian message reveals the process and plan devised by a holy God to restore the relationship between God and his creation that sin had initially destroyed. And the Bible word for this great master plan of God is salvation." Christianity really is not so much about science, although it will explain many aspects about science. Christianity is about salvation. It is about how the divine-human relationship that was broken at the outset of human history can be wonderfully restored through Christ and his death on the cross at Calvary. It is about how men and women who were once enemies with God can become friends with God and be welcomed back into the family of God. It is about how men and women can escape the righteous judgment of God. And it has right at its very heart Christ and his death on the cross for the sins of the world. So Christianity, the Christian faith, is about salvation. It is about being saved. Let me return to this verse again. It says this: "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Secondly then, Christianity is about Christ, because Christ is key to God's plan of salvation. When the angel spoke to Joseph just before the baby due to be born to Mary arrived, the angel said these words: "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Said the angel to the shepherd just outside the village of Bethlehem these words: "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And Jesus himself gave us a one-line mission statement when he said this: I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. So God's plan of salvation for people like you and I centered on his Son, Jesus Christ. Says the Apostle Peter, speaking about the Lord Jesus, these words: salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. Says Peter, God's salvation is found uniquely in Christ. So the Christian message, since it is a message about salvation, is about Christ, because Christ is key to God's plan of salvation. So being a Christian means we have been saved. We have been saved by Christ. But that verse says this also: how you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So thirdly, Christianity is about faith. It is about being saved in Christ by faith. The Bible says this, that God's salvation, which is fully restored and revealed in Christ, becomes a personal possession of you and I by faith. That is, we have responded to God's offer of salvation and accepted Christ as a remedy for our sins. You know, the great religions of our world today are really mankind's expression of trying to gain favour with God. If you like, trying to earn their salvation. But the amazing thing about the Christian faith is this: Christianity is not about what we can do for God. Christianity, at its very heart, is what God has done for us through Christ. So the message of the Bible is a message of salvation, an offer of salvation on the basis on what God has done for us. The Bible makes it very clear that we cannot earn our own salvation. If we could, then there would be no need for Christ and his death on the cross at Calvary. But rather, we come into a relationship with God through faith. Says the Apostle Paul these words: it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. So being a Christian means we have been saved. We have been saved by faith through Christ. But Christianity is more about that, because once we have been saved, then Christianity is also about conduct. Because the following verse to the one that we have just read says this: all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for correcting, teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So Christianity is about conduct. Now, I said earlier, we cannot earn God's salvation. That is true. But if we have received it by faith, and if we are a Christian here this evening, then God expects us to live in a way that is befitting that of a Christian and is honouring to him. And the Bible is full of practical advice as to how we should live our lives as a Christian. How to establish right relationships. How to act at work, at college, at school. How to handle our money. How to respond to the needy, to the poor, to the weak, to the sick. How to respond when we are offended, when we are hurt, when we are wrongly offended, and much, much more. And if we are to live in accordance with biblical principles, our lives will be constructive and our lives will be fulfilling. Biblical perspectives for living have timeless relevance for every single generation. But sadly, our generation today has abandoned biblical principles. They have abandoned biblical teaching, and they are trying to live their lives, and they are trying to run society their own way without God. And what a mess we are making of it. Our society is paying a high price for thinking that we know better than God. And so it's this fourth aspect of the Christian faith, our conduct, that I hope to develop and consider in more detail this evening as we consider growing as a Christian, maturing as a Christian. What does God expect of us? And so after these perhaps rather lengthy introductory remarks, let's look at two further passages from God's Word this evening, talking about our spiritual conduct, our spiritual fitness, growing as a Christian. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul writing. What should our conduct be like? What should our spiritual state be like? What does God expect of us as we journey through our Christian life? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And the last passage this evening is Hebrews and chapter 12, well-known passage. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read a few of these verses together. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says this: Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? Brian Irvin, those of you who are into your football will know, was an ex-professional footballer, both of Aberdeen, played in defence for Aberdeen, and indeed two caps for Scotland. And I think he came to fame, if I can say that, in the 1990s. It was a cup final at Hampden Park, and his team Aberdeen were down playing Celtic in the Scottish Cup final. Some of you may have actually watched the game. After 90 minutes, both teams couldn't be separated. It went to extra time. Again, both teams couldn't be separated. Five penalty kicks each. Both teams couldn't be separated. So it's left to the individuals who are really not wanting to take the penalties down to sudden death. And I remember it, watching it. The Celtic boy comes up, misses. And Aberdeen boy, Brian Irvin, comes up, slams it home, runs round the side, goes down his knees, and he was a hero with Aberdeen fans, and he was in the back page of the paper and so on over that particular week. Anyway, I was organising an event with some others recently in the college in which I work, and I had some fairly well known, I thought were well known, but not so well known to the students, sportsmen and women to come along and share something about their time as professional athletes and professional sportsmen, as well as sharing something of their Christian faith and Christian belief, because they were all committed Christians. Brian Irvin was the key speaker. Marvin Andrews was there as well. Some of you may remember Marvin Andrews played for Raith Rovers, Livingston, and indeed Rangers. And Brian was excellent, and the young people appreciated what he had to say. And he said this: you have to be physically, or you had to be physically fit to be a professional footballer. Looking at some of them in the Scottish Premier League today, I would slightly question that. But he said you had to be physically fit. In fact, his heart rate increased 3 times on average during the course of a Premier League football match. And he made one interesting comment that kind of stuck in my mind, and it was this: you cannot afford to carry any excess baggage on the football pitch. That's what he said. You cannot afford to carry any excess baggage on the football pitch. And so this evening, our little study is going to be about some of the excess baggage that we need to get rid of as Christians. How can we maintain our spiritual fitness? How can we be spiritually healthy and mature as a Christian before God and before others? And so I just want to consider 3 simple things with us this evening. And the first one is this: as we consider growing as a Christian, our spiritual growth then needs the correct diet. So important. You know, the whole issue of diet is really popular today. Rhoda, my wife's on a kind of permanent diet. I think she's looking great, right? But she keeps saying, I need to lose a bit of weight here and there. So she's just on a kind of permanent diet. And a lot of folk are like that. We have to be very careful in our society today, our West of Scotland society, to have some sort of healthy, balanced diet. Our school is a health-promoting school. I still think they can improve a bit in the school dinners, but we are trying to be a gold award winning health promoting school, and we had to consider a whole variety of important factors. We need to apply wisdom with the kind of food that we eat. We do not have the best diet in the West of Scotland, the deep fried Mars bars and the fast food and so on. We need to watch what we eat. Sports people have dietitians. They employ these people, telling them what they can and cannot eat. But when we come from the physical to the spiritual, then we also need to be very careful. We need to think seriously about our spiritual diet. It is a crucial factor. What is our spiritual intake? What are we consuming that is going to make us spiritually fit and spiritually healthy? That is a good question. What are we filling our minds with?